We're taping today, and we're going to tape in 2 weeks. I'll be doing part two, so don't order the tape today because we're going to put them all on one tape. I'm doing this teaching in two parts, okay? Today and 2 weeks from today. I'll be doing the second part. But I know we've been kicking this around for a while, and I don't want to upstage anybody else who's done this, Cantor. I'm doing my own version of it, if that's all right with you. And the thing is, it hits me really hard because I'm Jewish. And the biggest struggle I ever had with accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior was he really the Lord? And I had a struggle in my life to get past that. And I would never have come to believe, and I would never be standing here today had I not accepted that he is God. If you tell me that he's less than God, or he's a human being, then you're calling me a liar, and I'm believing a false doctrine. And I don't accept that from anybody. And I would never, never go back on that, because I believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is our Lord and Savior, and he is the Son of God who came down because God sent him down here for a reason. And we're going to look at the deity of our Messiah, Yeshua, okay? And I'll throw in some Jewish stuff here, and maybe you'll have a better understanding. But today we're just going to do part one, and then I'll give you the rest of it in 2 weeks, okay? All right, so kind of as an intro, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about another Yeshua, a different spirit, a different gospel. If you come across any of that stuff, you're not supposed to believe in it. In 1 John 4, and you can follow along in these notes here, and I'm not going to read all these verses that are in here, but they all have this kind of gist. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Acts 20, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, that's us, right? Okay, the throne of God and the Lamb is all in the book of Revelation there. You can see all, and you look up at all those verses, and it talks about God and the Lamb. Now, we're in the Torah portion this week called Yom Kippur. We're in Achrei Mod and Kedoshim, which are the two Torah portions. And in Leviticus 16, it's all about the Yom Kippur sacrifice of the Lamb. And when we see it, we see that Yeshua was that sacrifice, that lamb. Although he died at Passover, he was the Yom Kippur sacrifice, because that was the lamb that took away our sin. Yes. And so all of this comes together. And so we call him the Lamb of God. John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth." That's what John the Baptist, or John Hamadvil, said when he saw Yeshua approach him. The Lamb of God. He already knew who it was. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, according to John 1. And there's some readings there, Psalm 107, Isaiah 55, and Psalm 147, that you could look up that will talk about that. Same thing. And this is how God reveals himself to us. The most common Hebrew expression for the word word is devar. Right now I'm doing, if you look in your bulletin, devar Torah, words of instruction. I'm not doing a sermon. I'm not preaching to you, but I might a little bit. But I'm teaching you words of instruction, devar Torah, if you notice. So the word devar means word. It also means thing. It also means physical matter. Because there is content and reality, there's substance to one's words. So words can become material things, right? Memra in Aramaic is the word, memra, M-E-M-R-A. In rabbinic thought, since God was perceived as untouchable, it was necessary to provide some kind of link between the Lord and his earthly creation. Memra is found hundreds of times in the Aramaic Targums. The Targums are writings, translations, and paraphrases of the Hebrew scriptures that have been used in synagogues for centuries. Starting around the time of Ezra, all the way up through the time of Yeshua, and are still being used today. So let me read you some verses from the Torah that we just carried around and from the Targum. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. And the Targum says, and they heard the sound of the word of the Lord walking in the garden. Genesis 20:8-20-21, in the Torah, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And the Targum says, if the word of the Lord be with me, then the word of the Lord will be my God. The word of the Lord will be Jacob's God. There are hundreds of examples of this in the Torah and in the Targums. If you want to look them up, you can. Chapter 1 of John, though, is actually saying this word devar. If you read it in Hebrew, it says devar. Memra, logos, logos, actually became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If John had simply written, God became a human being, that would have given a false impression, leading one to think that God was no longer filling the universe or he was reigning in heaven. He just became a human being. He's just one of us, one of the guys now. No, God is everywhere. John tells us that it was the divine word which spoke the world into existence, that became a human being. And through the word, we know God personally. Amen? Michael Brown says that, if you see the reference there. Revelation 19:13 says he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he dwelt among us in John 1:14. Dwelt, when you dwell among somebody, you live in a tent. And a tent, the word is Sukkot, Sukkah. Right? Tabernacle. It's another word for it. In Exodus 25:8, they built the tabernacle. They have made a sanctuary for me, and because they did, I'm going to dwell with them. Wow, God is going to live here with us in the sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 6, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. So the Septuagint, which is the Bible that you have today, is descended from the Septuagint, which is the Roman and then the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. Translated the words dwell with the Greek verb to pitch a tent, same as in John 1:14. So God remained in heaven. He filled the universe with his presence, yet pitched his tent. He dwelt among us through the tabernacle, the temple, and through his son, Yeshua. The glory of God filled them all. Just look at those verses and you'll see that the glory of God just filled and indwelt those people. Hebrews 1, which I say every week here, don't I? After he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions in many ways. I already told you all this stuff about 10 minutes ago. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the community of God, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in him. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. That doesn't say he's God. I don't know what does. John 1:18, no man has ever seen God, the only begotten God. Some later manuscripts read, Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. But John 14:7-9, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. Also, from now on, know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Yeshua said, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Who has seen me, has seen the Father? How do you say, show us the Father? Yeshua is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. When we see Yeshua, we see God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Yeshua. He is the mirror image of the Father. Do you look like your father? I do now. I didn't want to, but every time I look in the mirror now, I say, God, I look like him more and more each day. Yeshua is the mirror image of his Father. Yeshua is the Word come in the flesh. He who has seen the Son has seen the Father, guaranteed. And then we talk about a theophany. What is a theophany? A manifestation of God in human form. Exodus 33, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. So you can't look at God. Exodus 24, then Moses went up with Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders, and they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and they drank. Wow, they had oneg. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro in Exodus chapter 3, and he led the flock to the west side of Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, and the angel of God appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but was not consumed. And Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near me. Remove your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Targums tried to deal with this paradox by retranslating the Hebrew. Targum Onkelos reads in verse 6 that Moses was afraid to look beside the glory of the Lord. And Targum Pseudo-Jonathan says that Moses was afraid to look at the glory of the Shekinah of the Lord. Both are sidestepping the clear reading of the scripture. The text completely intertwines the angel of the Lord with the Lord himself. It seems that God was somehow in this angel, and that seeing the angel was equated with seeing God, right? So when we look at Yeshua, what do we see? Exodus 13, 21, and the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud of day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day and night. And 14, 19, the angel of God had been going before the camp of Israel and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from them and stood behind them. Wow. These are examples of how the infinite, invisible God can interact with finite earthly people. Let's look at Hagar. The angel of the Lord told her. Then she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God who sees. Abraham, three men, two angels, and one was God, came to visit him. They all appeared as human beings. Do you think God was with Abraham in Genesis 18 there? Yeah. Did God have dusty feet and sit down to eat a meal? Yet all the while, he remained God in heaven, didn't he? How could he do that? My God, we're going to put a limitation on God. He can do all these things, but one thing he can't do. He can't come to earth as a human being. The two men, angels, went on to Sodom, while God remained with Abraham. And Abraham and Sarah got to talk with him. Wow. Jacob wrestled with him, with a guy. Hosea 12:4 says it was an angel. Yet Jacob says, I have seen God face to face. Who was he wrestling with? Antonio Rocca? The crusher? Mean Joe Vasun, whatever his name. No, he was wrestling with Yeshua. How about Manoah and his wife in Judges 13? The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. She said, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome." This being is later called the man of God, and then the angel of God. But Manoah said to his wife, "We've just seen God. Are they lying to us? You ever see God? Does he drive a car with Iowa plates? Sometimes. He might." These verses clearly teach that God can come to earth in human form for a period of time if he so desires. I mean, he can do anything he wants. My God is not restricted by what restrictions I place on him. These are called theophanies, a manifestation of God in the flesh to man. And when the fullness of time has come, they saw the Son. This is called the incarnation. They saw the Son in Colossians 1:15, and he is the image of the invisible God. No man has ever seen God, the only begotten God or Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one who is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We are echad. That's a compound unity in Hebrew. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Yeshua explains how someone could actually see God even though God cannot be seen. He explains how God remained God in heaven, but also while appearing as God on earth. Yeshua is the visible representation of the invisible, the living manifestation of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians, "For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah." One rabbi once said, Yeshua was like a walking Shekinah. Isn't that beautiful? John 20, Thomas said to him, "My Lord, Kyrios, and my God, Theos, if God was in error on such an important declaration, would not Yeshua have corrected him?" Seeing Yeshua is seeing God. Colossians 2:9, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Yeshua is the God-man, the incarnate God come in the flesh. In Isaiah, we'll close there. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." God revealed himself in and through a man. He temporarily pitched his tent among us. His fullness dwelt in a virgin-born human. You can also look at John 1:18. I don't see how anybody could sit around and say, he is not God. And for what purpose? What are they trying to do? Besides kill their eternal souls, what are they trying to prove? And what is it going to do for them? I always ask people, why do you change his name? People walk around and say, his name isn't Yeshua, it's Yehoshua. His name is Yeshua. Go ask any Jew. They'll tell you what his name is.
Yes, they will.
And if you tell them his name is Yehoshua, you know what they're going to do to you? Ha, 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 you stupid Gentile. They're going to laugh at you. I mean, come on, people. What is it that you're trying to do? And I know you guys here are the choir, so I'm yelling at people that aren't here. So when the CD is produced, I want extra copies of it so I can give them out to all those people that didn't show up today that should be here. Scott, there we go, because they're the ones that need to hear this. You don't. You already know this, right? And by all these truths, we are free.